Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like scrolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Welcome in. It is overtime on 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until Nationals baseball tonight. Nats on deck getting started at 9:10 tonight as the Nationals begin a three-game series out in Seattle against the Mariners. They're a team that I kind of like to watch, so I'm excited to see how the Nationals do against them. Now, they don't have most of their elite starting pitching going in this one. George Kirby going tomorrow night. I really like watching George Kirby, so we'll see how he does making his second start. His numbers don't look great from his first start, but be interested to see how he does. I like their young pitching core, but want to continue the discussion about the name change here in just a second that seemingly has been a part of what we've been talking about all day here on the station. So we'll keep that going. I want to hop in. Listener lines are open, 800-636-1067. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. Coming up a little bit later, we'll dive into the Ken Rosenthal piece. Also, which Commanders player is being slept on? I want to talk a little bit about that. Who's someone that maybe isn't getting the recognition that they deserve going into the season? A couple of places have written articles about that, naming some players, so we'll get into that a little bit. Also, David Aldrich was on yesterday with the legend Doc Walker and talked about what we just discussed with Grant and Danny and Linnell in for Grant today about should the Wizards consider drafting Kamen Maluwach out of Duke. So we'll talk about all those things coming up before we turn it over to Nats baseball coming up at 9:10 this evening. But want to continue talking about this name change because, look, we can dive into – I'm not going to tell you how to feel about the name change. I can tell you how I feel. I can break it down how I am as a fan of this team and take it for what it's worth. You know, I think the name change overall, I think, has not gone over well. I don't know that there's any way that you can say that it has. I really don't. But in general, I think that when you look at the name, I think people, it's tough to say that people are starting to like the name because I don't run into a lot of people that would say that like the name. Maybe are they growing more accustomed to the name? Sure. Let me just lay out how I feel about it with some questions, and I'll give you my answer to these. And if you want to chime in, again, feel free, 800-636-1067. We can keep this going as long as you guys would like to, and then we'll get into some Nationals baseball talk. But do I miss the old name? Absolutely. Of course I do. Did I have an attachment to the old name? Yes, I did. I grew up, that was my team, and it was something that was a big part of my life. I tell people all the time, talking about the football team, whatever name, that if you told me, and if you're, you know, I cover the Nationals very closely. You know, I do the Bustin' Loose Baseball podcast with Grant. I go to almost every Nats home game. I care deeply about them. My favorite sporting memory in terms of being a fan is probably that 2019 World Series run. The Capitals are up there with what happened in 2018. I care about Virginia Tech, obviously. I do some work with them, but I grew up a diehard Hokies fan. If you told me that I had one option and I had to make a choice of which team I could keep, it'd be Washington football, and that's it. Everything else could go.
Are you old enough to have seen the Terps win March Madness?
I was not.
Yeah. Definitely not for Georgetown then.
No.
All right.
No. And so, look, you can pick all your teams. You can rank them. And I tell people this all the time. The Commanders, the Washington football team, the Redskins, whatever they're called at that point, they're so far ahead of everyone else. Like, legitimately, if you told me I could never watch another NFL game, I could only watch the Commanders, I could only watch the Redskins, I could only watch the Washington football team, and I had to give up everything else, absolutely. If I had to choose, I'm going to choose that team above anything else, and it's not even close. It's not even close. So I care deeply about this team. Did I have an attachment to the old name? Yes, 100%. I think anybody that grew up a fan of this team, 100% had an attachment. Now, I grew up, I was born in 98, and there wasn't a whole lot of winning. So to their point earlier about some people my age, maybe even a little bit older, I had Bobby Blanco in with me yesterday. He talked about it as well. Even he's a little bit older than I am, even in his time frame growing up. Last season was the best season that this organization, the Burgundy and Gold, have had in my lifetime, and it was under a different name. My uncle, though, my family, though, people that grew up and people that lived in the area watching this football team, they got to see three Super Bowls under the old name. They got to see championships under the old name. I haven't seen any of that. So would I say that I have more of an attachment to the name than them? Absolutely not. I'm not foolish enough. I'm not going to argue that it means more to me. I don't care, frankly. And I get that it probably means more to you than it means to me. That's okay. But I had an attachment to the old name, and I still have an attachment. Do I like the name Commanders? No, I don't. I do not like the name Commanders. How do you shorten it? How do I give a nickname? I mean, it's so easy. Walking by someone on the street, you see them wearing burgundy and gold. Go Skins! What am I supposed to say when I see someone wearing Commanders gear? Go Commanders? It's easy. I get it. But there's nothing to shorten it to. I know J.P. Finley has talked about this time and time again. There's nothing to shorten it to. Go Comms? Go Manders? No, I'm not saying any of those things. I do not like the name Commanders. I don't. Has it grown on me? Not really. Will it grow on me? Probably not. The same thing like Danny was saying about Wizards. I'm used to it. It's the Wizards. It's what I grew up with. Does it mean it's a good name? No.
It's very bland, I think, is part of it, too.
It's very bland.
Just, there's not, like, another one that kills me, too, is the Tennessee Titans. Like, what's a Titan? It has nothing to do with Tennessee. It's just, like, it's a word that starts with a T. Yeah, it doesn't really mean, and, like, Commanders are like that, too, where it's just, like, this generic kind of...
It's very generic.
There's some sort of military tie they're trying to do in there. But, man, they could have been, like, the Admirals or something if you really wanted to do... Or something, you know? Just
I mean, look.
That would have been cooler.
I don't think the name is good. I don't think it's going to grow on me. Am I used to it now? Yes. Partially because of the business we work in. I say it all the time. I hear it all the time. I understand if you're working another job and you very rarely talk about the football team or in terms of like, I talk about this team every single day of my life. There's no, like, that's not an exaggeration. 365 days a year, I talk about this football team.
That we do around here.
Yeah. Naturally, I'm going to get more used to a name than you at your workplace that maybe talks about it a couple of times a week, if that, right? And actually maybe never even says the real name, right? Like, I can't refer to them, not that I'm going to get in trouble, but I don't refer to them as the Redskins anymore because they're not the Redskins anymore, right? So you get used to the name. Does it mean that I like it? No. To give you a realistic look into what I do I buy gear for the new team name? Not really. Do I wear gear? Sure. I have plenty of gear that... You know, people have gotten me for birthdays or for Christmas, and you've seen me wear a lot of gear around here, Chris.
You're not getting a JD5 jersey?
I have a Jaden jersey. That's the exception.
There you go, though.
Like, I have a Jaden jersey, and there are a couple of items that I've bought that I like that are jackets or whatever that are a little more subtle in the W. But look, generally, have I bought gear like I used to? You know me, Chris. I mean, JP talks about this all the time. Has there ever been a time outside of when I'm going to a game to cover it that you've seen me not wearing team gear of any team in D.C.? Right now I'm wearing Nats City Connect gear from before, the Cherry Blossoms. Have you ever seen it?
Beautiful jersey, by the way. But no, I don't think so.
Exactly. I wear team gear darn near every day. You see me wear a lot more Nats gear because, frankly, I have a lot more Nats gear. Because I don't buy a lot of new burgundy and gold gear. I don't. I have some. I'm going to wear Jaden Daniels jersey every single Sunday. I do all those things, but I don't buy a lot of the new gear. So that's kind of where I'm at. I don't have an issue with the name. I don't love going down another rename, rebrand process. I don't love all that stuff. To me, I was fine with Washington Football Team. The way that I have laid this out before.
I liked it too, by the way. That was cool.
I thought it was fine. I thought it was unique. And the way that I've laid this out, and I think this is where they really ran into a problem. When you went to Washington Football Team, you ripped away what everyone loved. They loved the name Redskins. It was gone. You ripped it away. There was nothing you had to embrace. You were just Washington. You were Washington. That's it. Like, literally, you were the generic Washington Football Team. So you essentially, all you had was ripped away. When you rebranded to Commanders, what you did was you ripped away something that people loved and then handed them something that they didn't like and said, here, get used to it. Instead of saying, I just ripped it away, you're going to have to live without it. Now you've handed it something to people that they don't like and you're telling them, fall in love with it. Some people are never going to fall in love with it. And you know what? That's something that the team is going to have to live with. Frankly, like, they can win all they want. Some people are never going to come back. And I'm not going to say, oh, you're not a fan of the team. That's your prerogative. I understand that there is so much history. I tell you what, man, you turn on a game from the old days with John Riggins, with Daryl Green, with Art Monk, with any of those guys, and you see those uniforms and you see the logo on the side of the helmet and you see that team again, it feels different than what it does now. There's no question about it because the uniforms are different, the name is different, all that stuff is different. So for older fans that feel like they are no longer, they don't have an attachment to the team, I'm not even going to argue with you. I fully understand it. I get it. That's not how I am. That's not where I'm at. But I can understand that all this history that you have is now gone. It frustrates me to no end how I'm watching NFL games week in, week out, and these teams are wearing throwback uniforms. You know, you got the Tennessee Titans wearing Houston Oilers throwbacks. You got the Seattle Seahawks wearing throwbacks with the royal blue and the lime green Steve Largent era, right? What the heck do we have? We're supposed to pretend we don't even have any history here. This team's been around since 1932. Why do we pretend like we just came around on 2222? Like, we're hiding the logo on pictures of players that played for the Redskins. Thankfully, they've gotten rid of that. But it's a shame that you're selling gear of Daryl Green, of Sean Taylor, of guys that are legends of this franchise, and you're trying to pretend like they didn't play for the previous name. It sucks. I understand all those things. I get it. For me personally, I don't think I'm ever going to get fully invested in Commanders. Am I going to wear gear? Sure. Am I going to support the team? Absolutely. It's part of who I am. And I'm not going to let a name change take away something that means so much to me. But I can totally understand for other people if that was something that, along with Dan Snyder being an idiot and treating this team poorly and treating people poorly and running this franchise into the ground, losing football, embarrassing actions that had nothing to do with the stuff that Snyder was doing, but you're taking pictures for Sean Taylor's installation and the name in front of porta potties, and the installation is made out of a bunch of coat hangers and all this stuff. So much embarrassing stuff. And on top of that, the one thing that you felt like you could hold on to, maybe the only redeeming quality that Dan Snyder had, it felt like, was, well, at least you're going to keep the name. And that didn't happen either. So I understand that so much was bad. And then on top of all of that, which we didn't know at the time, but was very near the end of Dan Snyder's time here, he changes the name as well. He was forced to. I understand that. I'm sure he didn't actually want to, but he chose the name Commanders. And so again, I can understand that when you hear Commanders, like Danny was saying, he still sees Dan Snyder's stupid face. I get it. It's never going to drive me fully away. But I can't get frustrated with fans that look at it and say, I'm out. I'm out. It sucks because guess what? Jaden Daniels could go down as the greatest quarterback this franchise has ever seen. He could. He hasn't passed the greats yet. It's been 1 year. I'm not going to say he's passed these guys that have won Super Bowls. There are Super Bowls in this town that have been won. So I'm not going to pretend like getting to an NFC title game is the greatest thing that this team has ever done. It's the greatest thing they've done in my lifetime. It's not the greatest thing that this team has done in its franchise history. But the reality is, so much of this franchise's history is attached to the old name, which is now gone. And in turn, a lot of fans look at it as a totally different team that they don't feel like they can be as attached to anymore. And I can't blame you. I can't. 800-636-1067. If you'd like to hop in, let's get out to Steve in Fairfax. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, man. Great take. I can't think of doing it any better. I think what's going to happen basically is that I'm an old fart, and all us old farts will eventually fade away and ride off into the sunset. And unfortunately, so will the Redskin name. However, I will be in my heart forever. And just thanks a lot for just saying what needed to be said.
Appreciate it, Steve. Yeah, I mean, look, I think that as some of the older generation passes on and, you know, people that are my age and younger and maybe even a little bit older have seen this team be awful for so long, they weren't as attached, even though they loved the Redskins growing up. They weren't as attached. And so, in turn, it's going to continue to grow. And if things continue to go the way that they're going, it's going to grow nationally because the number one selling jersey for a lot of last year was Jaden Daniels, right? And it wasn't a Jaden Daniels Redskin jersey. It was a Jaden Daniels Commanders jersey, right? Like that's the reality of it. And moments that are now going to go viral and moments that are going to be immortalized forever. The Hail Mary. I hated the black uniforms. I still don't like that when I turn on the television to watch this team on Sundays, if they're wearing the black unis, is that my team playing or am I watching the Pittsburgh Steelers? There's no doubt they're cool. They're great. They look really, really cool. Do they look like the team that you grew up watching wearing burgundy and gold every Sunday? Absolutely not. They don't. There's no question they don't look like them. But when you have the Hail Mary in the black uniforms, that's immortalized forever. Jaden Daniels, with arguably the greatest quarterback rookie season in the history of the National Football League, was a part of the Commanders. I think it's going to continue to grow, and I think Josh Harris and this ownership group understood that continuing to rebrand is just a... You're never going to please everybody. You never are. Whether you went with Commanders, whether you stuck with Washington Football Team, the reality is you're never going to please anybody. Because even if you try to go back to the old name, there's going to be a vocal people saying that that name shouldn't be back. You're never going to be able to please everybody. That's the reality of things. It sucks that the name that they chose, I would say that a majority of people, they didn't like it, right? Like, usually when you go into these sorts of scenarios, you say you choose the lesser of two evils or the least evil of the bunch. For them, it feels like they chose a horrible option. Real quick, let's get to Rob in Woodbridge. I do want to get into some Nationals talk, but before that, Rob, what's going on?
Hey, what's up? I was born in 88, grew up a Redskins fan. It was a big part of my family and my growing up and everything. Everybody was Redskins fans. So to change the name, I warned people, I said, this is going to be really hard for a lot of people, including myself. And I would call into talk shows, and they're like, who cares? It's just a name. It's just a name. I'll call in Grandin. It's just a name. Who cares? You can call them whatever. I'm like, okay, well, you change the name for the Yankees, change the name for Orioles. It doesn't matter. It's a huge thing. And then I think you can see now that if you lost people, you're not getting back. And for me, it's not that I didn't become a fan. Like, when I was a Redskins fan, it was emotional when they would win. Now I'm just very, very happy. It's just not – like, the ceiling is lower now. And I will say, though, I don't like the name Commanders. However, I will say that I think the name could be worse. So I kind of fear
certainly
like a different name.
All right, Rob, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, it definitely could be worse. It's one of those scenarios where probably they could have chosen a better option. They could have also chosen a worse option. Regardless, I'm not going to tell fans how to feel. You know, I understand that people have grown up with this as a part of like I described, it was a part of my life to the point that anybody that knew anything about me, what's the first thing you're going to say? It's not, oh, he's funny or anything else. It's he's a diehard Skins fan. So I'm not the only one in this region like that. I understand that. And I never even experienced the winning. So I can only imagine if I watched this team win three Super Bowls and that identity, because that's what it is, that identity is completely gone. I get that it'd be a lot different. It's not going to change for me, but I understand that for some people it's totally different. Let's take a break. When we come back, Ken Rosenthal wrote a scathing piece about the Washington Nationals. I'll react to that next here on The Fan.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back. It is Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you for another 2 hours here, and then we'll turn it over to Charlie and Dave out in Seattle for game one of a three-game set against the Mariners. Mitchell Parker on the hill tonight for the Nationals. We're going to dive into them in just a second. A couple of notes real quick I wanted to hit on before we get into this Ken Rosenthal piece. Number one, this Jalen Ramsey stuff seems to be popping up again. I'm good. I need corners at this stage that are elite, good, ascending. I don't know that he's any of those. Maybe 2 years ago, Jalen Ramsey was elite. I don't need to be paying his contract for someone. And I saw ideas floated. Maybe he'd go to safety. No. Just no. What's that Colin Cowherd meme where he's like, hey, LeBron, we're all good. We got Ben Simmons here. Like, hey, Jalen Ramsey, we're all good. We got Trey Amos. Mikey Sandra's still here. We're all good. And then Bryce Harper had to leave the game today already. Spencer Strider hit him with a fastball on his elbow. So that'll be something to monitor to see if Bryce Harper is going to miss some time. I want to get into this Ken Rosenthal piece. And if you'd like to hop in on the Nationals, 800-636-1067, feel free. So the title of the article from Ken Rosenthal, one of the most respected baseball writers, wrote this in The Athletic today. Nationals remain among MLB's bottom feeders despite lengthy rebuild. And by the way, great picture to use with this one of Josh Bell, who has been very, very disappointing this season for the Nats. Basically, this was published about 12 hours ago, and it seems like it's gone everywhere. At least around here, everybody's talking about it and listening to G&D with Linnell and Danny today. They were talking about it, and just to give you a quick summary before I give you some of my thoughts on it. He called the Nats a bottom feeder team. They have the third most losses since they've won the World Series in 2019. They're one behind the Pirates, 14 behind the Rockies. So when you're in the company of those teams, it's not good. I mean, the Colorado Rockies, it's crazy that we're about to see a stretch. I'm trying to remember what team it was in 2023. But last year, the Chicago White Sox were one of the worst teams, if not the worst team ever. And the Colorado Rockies were like, hold my beer. I'm going to show you how to be really, really bad. And by the way, because of the way, I believe this is right, I'd have to double check, but because of the way that the new MLB draft lottery is, which by the way is really stupid, I think draft lotteries in general are pretty stupid, especially when you have a team that did everything the right way and they end up with a sixth pick. I digress.
I am so with you on that, Toby.
I cannot stand it. I can maybe understand a little bit, like, to an extent, but like, Wizards picking sixth is still dumb in the NBA draft lottery.
The big problem I have with these lotteries, too, is they punish teams, sure, if you try to tank, but they also punish just bad teams that aren't tanking.
Exactly.
And so they're making it so, like, there's not really a way to get out of the pit, even if you're just bad and not tanking.
Correct. And it's a little bit different in baseball, I get it, because just because you get the first pick, there are different things, and there are a lot of prospects, and it's all about development. I get it's different in baseball, but I'd have to double-check, but I'm pretty sure. The funny part about the White Sox last year and then the Rockies this year, because of the way that the MLB draft lottery has been set up, they couldn't even get the first overall pick. I think the soonest they can pick is 10th because of the way that with revenue share, and I'm not going to dive into the whole thing, but basically the Nationals had the same thing happen, and they ended up picking 10th last year.
I think that rule got changed because of the Nationals, because we got Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg back-to-back with number one overall picks, and everyone's like, hey.
It was really recent. Part of it, too, I think, is the team I'm watching in here right now is the Baltimore Orioles as well, ending up with multiple number one picks over a couple-year span where you get Adley Rutschman, you get Jackson Holliday, some of these guys. I understand it to an extent regardless. I still think it's stupid because you're talking about a historically bad team in the Rockies, and they have 14 more losses than you since 2019 going into today. The Pirates look horrendous. I mean, how bad do the Pirates look? They draft a generational pitcher, and we throw that tag around far too often. Generational. Remember, Chase Young was generational. Every single year, there's a generational guy.
I mean, this kid was like a Jaden Daniels to them, yeah. Their pitching staff. Yeah.
What do we call, what is generational? 20 years? Like every 20? I think that's what it counts as, somewhere around there?
It's hard to say. I mean, you know it. You know when you see certain guys and you're like, yeah, well, LeBron's not in his generation anymore. Like his player.
Yeah,
you know,
he's it's like he was a generational talent, right? But so often we throw that around. Paul Skeens is generational. And the discussion after one year is, should the Pirates trade Paul Skeens? Because that's how bad they are. That's how bad they are. That the guy that people show up to the yard to watch, that's the best pitching prospect probably since Strasburg, that is as highly touted, has been as good to start. I mean, remember the hype around Stras. He was kind of the first super prospect where everybody wanted to see him. He gets called up June 8th, 2010. Remember the hype around
like, Harper had that too, but not as a pitcher. But yeah.
Correct. There's something to it when the pitcher generally... Position players probably get a little more hype just because they play every day, but a pitcher making his debut with that kind of stuff where they're going to pump 100, they've got nasty breaking stuff.
Against the Pirates.
Yeah, right? Against the Pirates. And when you have something like that, it adds another level. But that's the company you're in. The Pirates and the Rockies. So calling the Nationals a bottom feeder, I saw a lot of Nats fans on Twitter getting salty about that. Look, would I call them a bottom feeder? No. Do the facts, does the record show them as a bottom feeder? Yeah. If you want to clarify them as a bottom three team in baseball, you're not wrong. He talks about the ownership not spending to make this team better. Talks about how the team hasn't drafted or developed well. A couple of quotes from here. Good teams both spend and develop. The Nationals do neither. Extensions, talking about Wood, Abrams, Gore, quote, not likely. Well, that's not great. Put you in a spot where, what are we even doing? Matter of fact, in the break, I was talking with Craig Hoffman across the way, and we were talking about, and maybe I'll join him later this week to talk a little bit about this article. And he's like, reading the article, like, what are we even doing? You can't keep these guys, and there's still a stretch the way that it's, you know, baseball is built out. You can keep guys under control for an extended amount of time. Think of like a quarterback in football, right? When you can have that quarterback on a rookie deal, that 5-year window. With prospects, you can have an extended window, and if you can sync all those guys up with some good veterans and you get guys coming into their own while you're continuing to bring up your own talent and bring in some other talent and supplement, like, there are ways that you can do it. We see it year in, year out. But the Nationals,
I mean, they have done it.
They have. I mean, you saw it in 2019. And, you know, you saw a guy in Anthony Rendon who was still running through that quote-unquote rookie contract. Yes, he's in arbitration, final year, right? He ends up not re-signing here. Strasburg was on an extension. They brought in free agents and Corbin and Scherzer. And you had Trey Turner, a young guy on a
Soto,
quote-unquote rookie contract. Juan Soto on a rookie contract, right? So you can have all these things sync up. And then you win something. I don't know that that window is coming in the next couple of years with the way that this team has been operating. I want to break it down for you next, because I think where you run into some issues is the way that this team operates is, well, they need to make some changes. Let me put it that way. They need to make some changes in the way that they operate. Could that mean changes to personnel? Sure. Could that mean changes need to be made in the ownership? Sure. Like, there are changes that need to be made. I think they need to look themselves in the mirror. I think this is a great piece by Ken Rosenthal because it's honest. I don't think that if you're a Nats fan and you take off your Curly W hat and step away and read what he wrote, I don't know that there's anything that you can fully go in on and say, I disagree. Maybe you don't agree with the extent on the way that he goes hard in the paint with some of these things, and that's fine, but I don't know that there's a single spot in the piece where you're looking and going, that's just flat out wrong. Maybe you don't fully agree, but I don't think you can say at any point he's wrong in this piece. And it was scathing about the Nationals. Everybody gets some. I'm going to give you some of my thoughts because I just kind of summarized it here. I'll give you some of my thoughts next. You want to hop in, 800-636-1067. You're listening to Overtime on The Fan.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's overtime. 106.7 The Fan, Toby Altizer with you till 9:10 tonight. Then we'll turn it over to Charlie and Dave out in Seattle, Washington. The other Washington, right? Washington taking on a Washington team. This is where we need those stupid Washington Commanders, State of Washington mugs, right? Washington and Washington.
I did root for Penix when he was in the college Final Four because they were the Washington football team as well.
That's true. A Washington football team made the playoffs. That Washington football team here never... Well, they did. They did make it, right? That was the Heineke time. That was Washington football
they
team.
They backed into the playoffs is what I like to call that.
Washington football teams in the playoffs. Always coming up short. Always coming up short. Talking about the Washington baseball team, the Washington Nationals right now, Ken Rosenthal had a scathing piece on the Nats. If you'd like to hop in again, 800-636-1067. So I kind of summarized the article last segment. I want to give you some of my thoughts here. So, to me, the Nationals have to look in the mirror and decide if they're going to operate as a big market team or if they're going to start operating as a small market team. Maybe not even start operating like a small market team, but they need to make a decision on which one they're going to be. Because they've basically operated as a small market team with a big market front office over the last couple of years. And here's what I need you to do. Make up your mind as to what you're going to do. Which way are you going to operate and make the moves accordingly? If you're going to act like you're in a big market, which we've seen this team do before, and by the way, they are in a big market. I don't know if you know this. Washington, D.C. is a big market, just in case you were wondering.
We're number 8 or 9 in the country, I think.
Yeah.
Top 10.
Yeah. Small market, right? Small market. And the reason I bring this up, I've worked in two markets. I've worked in a major market, Washington, D.C. I've worked in a small market, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I've seen two baseball clubs that are both in those markets, right? D.C. and Milwaukee. And the way both clubs are operating is if both are in Milwaukee right now. Because one's a small market team, one's a big market team, and both of them are acting very similarly. The issue is, for the Nationals, they're operating like a small market with a big market front office. I'm going to explain what that means in a second. Because if you're a small market, like Tampa, Milwaukee, Oakland was operating this way, you understand that you can't spend with the big boys, and so you have to find your edge in other ways. The Nationals have a big market front office where they can't find the edge because their edge generally is built on, hey, let's go identify that Max Scherzer might be awesome, which, by the way, anybody could have told you that. But they had the stones to go sign him to what, at that point, Google, the articles written about it, was the worst starting pitcher contract. Oh, it's horrible. Way too much money. How'd that turn out? Right? How'd that turn out? Max Scherzer was worth every cent that he was given when he was here in D.C. So No problem. If you're going to be a big market team in a big market, which you are, you need to spend money like you did on Max Scherzer, like you did on Patrick Corbin, because I know the last couple years of Corbin didn't look so hot. He also helped you win the World Series, and you don't win the World Series without Patrick Corbin on that baseball team. And you trade prospects for stars. Think about Adam Eaton, how they got him trading away a Lucas Giolito and Reynaldo Lopez. And there's other examples. Remember before they even got to that point, they'd signed a Jason Worth, and then they traded for a Gio Gonzalez and those sorts of things. That's kind of how big market teams operate. Look at the Dodgers. Look at the Yankees. Look at the teams, the Cubs, right? Look at how these teams operate versus how this team is operating. Those teams are all in big markets. They're operating as big market teams, and that's totally fine. That's the ecosystem of baseball. Or you need to go all in on being the small market team, which you're not, but the way that you spent over the last couple of years, you're acting as a small market team. Go all in on it if that's going to be the case. If you're not going to spend on free agents, if you're not going to improve the baseball team by going out there and spending money, then start acting like a small market team. What do I mean by that? Become an analytically driven team. I know it drives some people nuts. I didn't love how the Tampa Bay Rays went about in the World Series pulling Blake Snell, but it was all numbers driven. It was all analytics. Think about how Moneyball was all a big thing. What was Moneyball's big thing? Find what is undervalued on base percentage in that case and save money that way by identifying guys that were slipping through the cracks but would fit into what you want to do. Moneyball approach it. Spend on your R&D to find an edge in spite of the fact that you're not spending on players. How do teams go about improving? Look at nowadays, pitching labs are huge. I watch the Brewers still on a consistent basis and see how they're doing from my time covering them, and I still have family in the area. If you look at their rotation, they are very injured right now. Very, very injured. And if I listed off some of the names that are pitching for them right now, be like, who? And yet, they have guys that you've never heard of pitching to decent ERAs. I know you're not a huge baseball guy, Chris, but have you heard the name? You've heard the name Freddie Peralta more than likely once or twice.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Chad Patrick?
No.
He has a 2.97 ERA in 57 and two-thirds innings. No one's heard of Chad Patrick. And yet they got a starting pitcher pitching to a sub-3 ERA. Colin Ray, over the last couple of years, is pitching well for them. They've got Quinn Priester, who's struggled throughout his career, just barely above 4 ERA. Like, you can go through this. How do they do this? Whenever they acquire somebody, think about what the Guardians have done, and Cleveland as well, another small market team that operates as a small market team. Whenever they have a pitching prospect, you know that guy's going to be good. Because they work through it, they send them to their pitching labs, and they're breaking down, hey, if you come out, you get this angle and spin rate, all that stuff. I'm no genius. I can't break it all. I'm not a scientist. But they have literally high-speed cameras and everything, breaking it down to the release point and everything so that they can say, I mean, there's things called spin efficiency, Chris, where it's like, we can break down whether your ball's spinning or not.
Baseball stats have gotten insane since I was a kid looking at the back of cards.
It's nuts.
You know?
Like, literally, when you want to know why hitting's so hard nowadays, these pitches are literally built in labs because they'll say, look, your spin rate is good, but your spin efficiency isn't as high as we'd like it, so we need you to change it to this axis so it breaks more. Like, holy cow. But teams invest in those sorts of things. Colleges have these, by the way. Grant's talked about being down at Wake Forest. They've got a pitching lab that a lot of pros will go to in the offseason, and they'll do their analysis, and they've got pressure plates in the ground to understand how they're distributing their weight, all this stuff. Hey, Nats, if you're not going to spend, what did Max Fried sign for? If you're not going to spend on Max Fried and you're not going to go get someone, because, by the way, he was the number one dude that I wanted this offseason, it was laughing that they would spend 8 years, $218 million. That's what he ended up getting. So you figure he's making 8 by 2, just under $30 million, right? We'll say that. If you don't want to spend $30 million a year on Max Fried, you know how you can make up for it? Go spend however much it is to build a pitching lab somewhere. Go build this stuff. Make your team better. And if you're going to do this, by the way, this is what they've done. This shows that they've started to operate as a small market, and part of it's rebuilding too. But how do small markets build? They trade their stars for prospects. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? When they got a guy coming up with a year or two left, that guy's gone. Think about all these guys that have pitched for the Tampa Bay Rays. Think of people that have played for that team and how many of them were traded with a year or two left of control, right? Randy Arozarena, Tyler Glasnow, a bunch of these dudes. You end up rebuilding the system because you know you can't sign them. Again, sound familiar? It looks dire because the reality of things, and it's part of what's talked about in this article, is James Wood, repped by Scott Boras. Mackenzie Gore, repped by Scott Boras. The only one of their big three right now that's not is C.J. Abrams, and they've had some contract discussions with him. The only dude that they've signed recently to an extension was K-Bert Ruiz, and K-Bert's a solid player, but he's not great in a lot of areas. Honestly, he's below average. Anything defensively, he's below average. He's okay at the plate. But outside of that, it's like Strauss. And think about all the guys that have been on this team and how many of them have been huge stars and how many of those guys are going to be remembered as Nationals. Ryan Zimmerman and Steven Strasburg are always going to be Nationals. That's great. Bryce Harper is a Philly. Juan Soto is going to go down as a Met. Trey Turner is going to go down as probably a Philly. Right? Even dudes that were here for cups of coffee that still like kind of rehab their careers. Kyle Schwarber, right? Cub and Philly. Like, how many dudes are going to go down as Nationals?
Trey Turner did win here, though. So
I'm not saying, like, look.
And he won in Philly, too, but,
Max, you know, Scherzer won here. Like, look, I get that. But I'm saying, like, Soto won here, too. But he's not, he's going to be remembered for that 19 run, and then he's going to be remembered as that prospect haul and ending up with the Mets. I want to talk about Mike Rizzo because I think this is a big part of it. We'll talk about that next because, to me, he's a big part of this. Mike Rizzo, I think, has had he's been handcuffed in some ways, and he's also been culpable in some of the problems for this team. We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. Welcome back. It is Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until just past 9 o'clock. Late night Nats tonight. Nats and Mariners out in Seattle. Charlie and Dave on the call. Nats on deck getting underway at 9:10. I'll be with you until then. Right now, talking about those Nationals, Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic today wrote a scathing piece about the Nats, saying they remain among the bottom feeders in the league despite a lengthy rebuild. And again, immediately when you read it, you get defensive as a fan. Bottom feeders? No way. Bottom feeders? What? But I think when you read through this thing, there are some really valid points. Do I agree with everything that he says? Maybe not. Maybe not to the extent. Does he bring up a lot of valid points from someone that isn't in the day-to-day and has a more national perspective of what's going on? Not a Nationals perspective. National perspective. I think he does. I want to talk about Mike Rizzo in particular. And I think this is where he runs into problems. So I've put out four different categories as to how you can grade a general manager. There's definitely more. You can get into the nitty-gritty. But big picture to me, there's four big ones. Trades, free agents, drafting, and developing. Right? I think those are kind of the four major ones right there. And if I had to give a grade, I was consulting with the great Ryan Clary on this a little bit earlier today, host of Locked On Nationals, giving him a little bit of a shout-out. Which I would listen to Bustin' Loose Baseball personally, but, you know, me and Graham Paulson. But regardless, giving him a little shout-out. I think if you graded Mike Rizzo in these four areas, here's what we came up with. Trades, got to give him a B. There have been some bad ones, but for the most part, that Juan Soto one's going to go down as a great one. You just go through time. Lane Thomas being acquired for John Lester. John Lester, when he was traded, was essentially, for his baseball career, one foot in the grave, the other on a banana peel. He was cooked. He was done. They got Lane Thomas. Lane Thomas was helpful. And by the way, Lane Thomas then traded for a guy that's now top 10 in your system as a left-handed pitcher who could be nasty. Jamer Candelario trade was good. Obviously, the Soto trade. If you look at bad ones, I don't love the return now on the Scherzer-Turner deal after we get a few years removed from it. There's other deals that weren't great. But I would say overall, Mike Rizzo's been really good at trading assets and getting back and generally winning trades. Let me put it that way. Free agents, I'll give him a B-. Because even if you want to be frustrated over the last couple of years, I think you have to really understand, too, that he's been very, very handcuffed with the budget he's been given. And this year, I think he has failed, for the most part, on some of these free agents. His bullpen acquisitions this year were horrible. Lopez has been okay, probably bordering on bad. The other two were horrendous, not even making it halfway through the middle of May, right, before they're off in Poche and Sims. But then you look at last year. Dylan Floro, he's picked up and ends up turning into Andres Chaparro. Derek Law signed to a couple-year deal. He's been solid when he's been able to pitch out of the pen last year, and he's still coming back from injury for this season. So I think you look at the last couple of years, there's been some hits and misses. You look at the one-year deals to trade guys. Candelario worked out well. Eddie Rosario did not. Jesse Winker worked out fine. Like, those sorts of things, that's the kind of the nature of those. Your batting average isn't going to be 1,000. But I think overall, he's been fine. I think when you look at the big-time free agent signings, is the Corbin deal a plus or a minus? I'll let you decide, but they don't win a World Series without Patrick Corbin. And so, was the deal dead weight for a little while? Maybe a long while and a majority of that contract? Sure. Did it help him win a World Series? Was it worth it? Yes, 100%. Max Scherzer deal, we already talked about earlier, was viewed as a horrible deal when they signed it. How'd that turn out? Turned out pretty good. So I think overall in his time here, when he's been given the resources and free agency, I think he's been fine. I'd give him a B-. Here's where you run into problems. Drafting, I was giving him a D. Ryan said D-. Development, D-. And I don't think either one of those is unfair. I don't. Danny went through those first-round picks earlier. I'm not going to go through them, but go through the numbers, the names of the first-round picks for the years, and tell me how many of them played in the big leagues, much less big leagues for the Nationals, and been effective in the big leagues. Not many. Not many. To me, he's a big market general manager stuck with the team now operating as a small market team. Because I think when you look at what the big things for when you're big market, small market, like I laid out last segment, trades and free agents, big market, great. That's where you need to excel. Draft and develop, that's where you have to have everything on key in a small market. Now, frankly, drafting and development can be good in big markets and small markets. It's more important in a small market, but there's a reason why the Dodgers are good year in, year out. You say, well, yeah, because they spend $1 billion every offseason. Yes, true. But they also develop a lot of their own talent, too. Dustin May in the rotation. They've had a lot of pitcher injuries this season. They're rolling out guys that they've developed. And then they're able to move on from some of these guys because they're maybe not as good. But they can trade them. They can keep them as their own. Gavin Lux was playing for them for a while. I think they made a mistake, frankly, of having Gavin Lux start for them at second base for so long and not giving Michael Busch a try, who's now in Chicago. Look, they're not perfect either, but they have drafted and developed much better historically than the Nationals. And that's part of why year in and year out, they can be good on top of spending, right? A big part of it, yes, Freddie Freeman acquired in free agency. Trade for Mookie Betts, which, by the way, you have to have prospects to be able to trade for a guy like Mookie Betts. Signed Shohei Ohtani. I understand all those things. Tyler Glass now, signed. I get it. But being bad at drafting and developing is, frankly, why they've fallen into this spot in the first place. Because they could have very well moved on from Max Scherzer, moved on from Trey Turner, said, we're not going to be able to pay these guys. They could have moved on from even a Juan Soto, saying, he wasn't accepting our $400-plus million contract. We got to move on. But you could have been rebuilding and had guys ready to come up, and they didn't. the most exciting players on this team right now, with the exception of Dylan Cruz, came from that Juan Soto trade. And so most of these guys are not Nationals development success stories. A couple things can be true. It's completely unacceptable to be as bad as this team has been in those departments over the last decade plus. It's why they've gotten into the spot that they're in now. But I also feel like they've improved. I don't have time to do the exercise now. Go on MLB Pipeline, look at the Nationals top 30 right now, and go down there and see how many you think can be competent, useful big leaguers on that list. I think you'll come up with a decent bit of names. Go back and do it 5-6 years ago, and you'll see how many were not competent big leaguers, whether they was in the Curly W's uniforms or anywhere else. They just weren't. They've improved. I think over the last couple of years, they've gotten better. Still not acceptable overall with what they've done. And so I think this scathing piece from Rosenthal is in a lot of ways correct. And what I'm trying to say here is, if you're the Nationals, you have to make up your mind. If you're not going to spend money, I like Mike Rizzo. I don't think, frankly, where they've fallen into is a lot Rizzo's fault, even though I don't think he's been great at drafting and development. And I think that has been a big shortcoming. I think they've improved. I think he's understood over the last couple of years they need to. And I think they're taking steps to improve that. There's still a large portion that is on Rizzo's plate. I get that. But he also has not been helped out by the ownership group. And so, in turn, they have to make a decision. If they're going to operate as a small market team and not spend money, then you might have to go out and redo the entire front office. You might. Because if you're going to operate that way, Mike Rizzo isn't your analytics, let's dive into the numbers. And he's an old school scout. That's what he always talks about. He's an old school scout. And yeah, he's evolved as time has gone on to an extent. But if you want to operate like the Tampa Bay Rays, then start operating like the Tampa Bay Rays. You're going to spend like them. You're going to need to act like them a little bit too. And frankly, they're stuck in the middle somewhere. And that's kind of where you're at right now. And that's why, yes, it's encouraging with Gore and Wood and Abrams. But let's keep it that way. Spend money to keep them. Or figure out what you're going to do around these guys, because it's getting a little bit frustrating where the Nats are at, and I think it's a really good piece by Ken Rosenthal. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to get into the Commanders. Who is someone on the team right now that's being slept on a little bit? NFL.com wrote about this a little bit. ESPN has written about this a little bit over the last couple of days. I got a couple other names that I want to throw out to you and get your thoughts on. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. Who's a Commander that's getting slept on a little bit going into this season? We'll talk about it next here on Overtime on The Fan. Welcome back, Overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till Nats baseball just after 9 o'clock tonight as they're in Seattle to take on the Mariners. Real quick, we were talking about the trades and how well Mike Rizzo's done in trades. Lane Thomas getting traded last year, who struggled really in his time in Cleveland, aside from a nice little postseason stretch. One of the main guys acquired in that deal alongside Jose Tena, who's been helping the big league club a little bit, is Alex Clemmy, left-hander. Nasty, nasty stuff. Got to see him down in spring training. Tonight in High A Wilmington. So far, I think that he might be done. I'm not sure, but 6 innings, only giving up 2 hits, no runs, giving up 2 walks, 9 strikeouts. That's what I'm talking about. 6 innings, 9 strikeouts, no runs. Sign me up for that. He's going to be one of the better pitching prospects in baseball, especially lefties, I think, coming up pretty soon. But I want to get into the Washington Commanders. So a couple of articles have been written recently, one by ESPN, one by NFL.com, about some underrated players or players that are being slept on or underappreciated, however you want to talk about it. And ESPN listed tight end Zach Ertz as the most underrated player at his position in the National Football League. I think that stands to reason. I think he doesn't get the credit that he deserves. Gennardo Feis, I think is how you say his name. I'm not sure exactly. But NFL.com had Quan Martin as the most underappreciated player on the Washington Commanders. I think that makes some sense as well. He doesn't get talked about at all. I think he turned out to be a solid starter for the team. I've got a couple of guys I want to throw out there. two names in particular. I had a third category and I couldn't come up with anybody, so we'll leave that category out. But I have two categories, and Chris, if you have a name that you'd like to throw in here, feel free. So the two categories for me are viewed as good, but is going to be better than expected, like superstar caliber or really, really good, and viewed as average, but will be a plus player, okay? Those two categories. I have a player for each. And really, I love having an excuse to ever talk about this player because I don't think people talk about this guy enough. I think he is incredible, and it's not someone that never gets talked about. Frankly, he gets talked about quite a bit, but I don't think people understand how good he can be. And in the viewed as good, but will be better than expected category, give me Mikey Sanristil. Mikey Sanristil, I think, is going to be an absolute baller for this team.
I mean, he already kind of is, but yeah.
He 100% is.
Great rookie season.
He had a great rookie season, and I think what he showed you last year is that he can play as an above-average defender on the outside. And here's why I think that he's going to be even better than expected. I think people already like him a lot, but I think he can be a starting caliber corner on the outside. Starting caliber in terms of you can put him out there, you feel okay, but where he's going to excel is where they drafted him to play, which, by the way, having that sort of versatility is huge. But being able to go back inside and play in the nickel, because I'm hoping, we're all praying, that Marshawn Lattimore gets back to being Lattimore again, right? That trade, and he honestly could be the linchpin of this defense this season. If he gets back to playing any sort of way that he used to, then you have a true number one corner. And maybe he's not the all-pro, maybe he's not the Pro Bowl corner anymore, but can you at least be a reliable top guy while Trey Amos learns how to play the position at the NFL level? Because that there gives you two boundary corners, right? Lattimore for sure is your number one boundary corner. That's how he's going to start the year. If he can get back to the form, that'll be nice. Trey Amos being a rookie, but the size that he gives you on the outside, he's going to be a boundary corner. Whether it's at the beginning of the year or as the season goes on, who knows? Jonathan Jones will give you a little bit of inside-out versatility. But I think Mikey Sanristil in the nickel, in that slot right there, I think he can be an absolute weapon for this team.
I want to see him turn into just like a pick machine too, man. He's one of those like little quick guys that I feel like he's got the skill set that can become that kind of just threat where like QBs lose track of him and just he just darts right in.
So what I think he really excelled at last year was cerebral plays. I think he was great at where he had to recognize something and then just go. I thought he was spectacular. You saw this a little bit in training camp, and then you saw it carry over into the regular season. Think about last season, how many times they'd run like a bubble or something like that out there to him, and he'd notice it. And he's over there blowing up the block or blowing up the ball carrier. He was in there. Whenever he could look and react, and he's like, oh, I recognize this off of film. I recognize this look. I see what they're doing. Anytime he had to work cerebrally, is that a word? Anytime he had to use his brain like that and play like that.
Had to think good.
Yeah, anytime he had to think good, then I think he could make a great play. I think it took a little bit of time for him athletically to catch up with the league. But something that opened my eyes, to me, that you know sometimes when you see players, Chris, and there's like a light bulb or something, a switch is flipped, right? To me, watching the second half of the second Eagles game that they came back and won, watching Jaden and that was like, okay, we've got a good one. We knew that. But, oh, this guy's really special, right? Like, that to me was like, oh, okay, he took that next level. To me, there's one singular play that opened my eyes for Sanristil because I liked him all year long. I thought he was really, really good. If there was a guy that I was saying Sanristil shouldn't be able to cover this guy as an outside guy, it's Jameson Williams, that guy that is down the field, just fast as can be, blazing speed, just runs by people at the National Football League. Very rarely do you see people just separate from NFL players. They're all kind of in that same area. Sometimes there's a guy that, like, he's faster than everybody else, but they're kind of stride for stride. Like, think Darryl Green, right? Where it's just like, when he opens it up, everybody else gets left in the dust, even though everybody else is fast. Jameson Williams is that kind. Not saying he's Darryl Green fast, but when he opens it up, other NFL players get left in the dust. Jameson Williams is running a post route. man-to-man, Mikey Sanra still. And Jared Goff throws it, slightly underthrown. What happens? Mikey Sanra still. That ball is mine. Picks it off in the playoff game against Detroit. That play right there opened my eyes to, okay, this guy can be really good, but he might be special as well. And I think him as an outside guy, he can be serviceable. I think he can be maybe even good eventually. Him in the slot? Think about the Bengals and how often when you were watching them in the playoffs, whoever the color commentator was on the broadcast going, watch Mike Hilton. Watch this guy in the slot. He could be blitzing. He's going to play. He's so good in every aspect where he's great in coverage. He's great at blowing up the run game. He's great as a blitzer. I think Mikey Sanra still can be Mike Hilton-like for this defense where you can use him in any way you want. You want to use him as a blitzer and he can disguise things. I think Sanra still, back in the slot as a nickel corner, could be absolutely nasty. He's fine on the outside, and I think he might have to play there some this year, and I think he can be still plus out there. But I think if they end up having the personnel that they can move him back inside, we're not talking about a good player, we're talking about a great player. I think he could be phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely got the potential there, and he's another one of those guys kind of like Jaden, but like, I want to see where this guy's ceiling is after the rookie class of like, you know, it's like,
yeah,
like he's good, he's going to be good. How good? How like now that he's gone through a season, now that he knows how to play different defense mm-hmm. or different offensive schemes and stuff, like how is he going to react to different teams? And what, like, I don't know. I think he's still on the upswing and he's already really good. So
one other name I want to hit here is viewed as average, but will be a plus player. Someone that's being a little underappreciated. I think a lot of fans like this guy, frankly, because a lot of people watched him play where he went to college. But I think Jalen Lane is going to be huge for this offense this year. I know he's a fourth-round pick. I know all that stuff. I also think in the punt return game, he's going to be huge. In the return game, he's going to be great.
He reminds me of B-Mitch. He seems like one of those guys that kind of do everything, man.
He can do
like,
a little bit of everything. Yeah. He's not as stout as B-Mitch was.
No.
But he is someone that is very versatile, and I think he's going to be a very, very big piece. To me, you know what he reminds me of is – in the way that he was used at Virginia Tech, because, you know, obviously I work with the Hokies, so I worked in all of his games this year. He reminds me a little bit of how Debo is used, but as a smaller, quicker guy.
Yeah.
And what I want to see, and Danny brings this up all the time, and I agree with him, what I want is I wanted a speed guy to stretch the defense vertically so that Terry could start working in that intermediate area with a deep threat kind of taking the top off a little bit. Jalen Lane has a speed to do that. He didn't do it a lot at Tech, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do a little bit of that because they have Debo. Like, why do you need Jalen Lane to beat Debo when you have Debo, right?
Exactly.
So can you get him to do that while on top of still being the guy that you... Look, here's what I'm envisioning, and I know we got to hit a break. Here's what I'm envisioning. We get a trip set to the left or the right, whatever, and you get Debo motioning across, and you fake a screen one way, to Debo, and then throw it back to Jalen Lane on the other side, or vice versa.
I have a feeling, too, that he's going to be using some trick plays, sneaky backdoors or whatever.
What I don't understand, Chris, and I'm not smart enough to be a defensive coordinator at the D1 level. If I could have told you when I was making a game plan for Virginia Tech, every single week they were going to run an end around to Jalen Lane. And yet every single week this guy found the edge. I don't get it. They did it every single week. So I think he's going to be a special playmaker for this team this season. I want to take a break. When we come back, let's get into some players. There was a clip I saw yesterday of a player in baseball that it feels like you just have to see if you get a chance. Who are some of the must-see players in sports right now? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.